Welcome back into Sports Talk here this March 23rd on a Monday. Steve Geller, Charlie Long hanging out with you till 7 p.m. That's when the Jay Johnson Show will come on, recapping LSU's weekend against Oklahoma, helping us break things down with the LSU baseball team and around the SEC. We have Joe Healy, writer and podcaster for D1Baseball.com on the line with us right now. Joe, always appreciate your time, man. How was your weekend?
It was great. Yeah, we're starting to get into the teeth of conference play and figure out which teams are, you know, the ones that are going to be title contenders, which ones are falling off a little bit. We're starting to learn a little about these teams, so it's a good time of year.
Okay, curious your I guess the panic meter right now. Tiger fans obviously very disappointed with this LSU team, 2-4 through the first two weekends of SEC play. I hate to say it's still kind of early, but it's, you know, we're just getting into things. Like you said, the meat, the teeth of things just really starting to get underway. How concerned should we be of LSU baseball 2-4 in conference play right now?
Yeah, I would say I told somebody the other day, no need to press the panic button, but I might find where your panic button is. Like, let's just learn where the panic button is, so in case you need to press it, you know where to go. Like, because I think two things can be true. I think there's a lot of reason for concern right now with the Tigers. I also think there is every reason to believe that things are going to improve as time goes on. And the other thing I would say is I've seen this movie too many times in SEC play. Think about last year when Florida got off to a 1-11 start and they end up making a regional, or LSU in 2024 when they get off to, I think it was 3-12 in the league, and they end up making a regional, they get all the way to a regional final. Right. They're still a long way from falling off that hard with a conference record like that. They're still a long way from that. So right now, like I said, I think there are reasons for concern. We can get into those, but I would say find your panic button, but don't touch it yet.
Yeah, looking at the lineup is definitely a huge concern right now. Situational hitting seems to run hot and cold. What do you think is the biggest missing piece from this offense right now to get some consistency going against some SEC caliber pitching?
Yeah, I think some of it is you know, you really only ever got two guys it feels like you can trust. It's Jake Brown and Derek Curiel right now.
Yes,
and
indeed.
When those two guys aren't going good, the lineup really stalls. And so whether the missing piece is, you know, somebody who needs to be injected into the lineup, I think I've liked a lot of what I've seen as of late from Omar Serna. Is he someone who can really change the temperature of it? Is it Chris Stanfield now that he's back from injury and is starting to swing it a little bit better? Does he inject a little bit of life into this lineup? Or is it something more basic, like, you know, maybe you just need to change a little bit of what you're doing offensively? Do you need to put more runners in motion? Do you need to just put the ball in play a little bit more? Do you need to go back to a little bit of small ball? I know it's not really Jay Johnson's cup of tea, but I think he would even understand just the thought of, like, what you're doing right now isn't necessarily working. And sometimes you just need to shake up the snow globe a little bit to see if doing something different can just change the outcomes for the team. And I think that's kind of where they're at right now offensively, is they're still trying to figure out who their best nine guys are. And it's something needs to change, because right now that is the biggest concern for me, is just that outside of those two guys, you're just not getting consistent production.
Yeah, it's been an issue since basically the start. The first 2 weeks of the season, Joe, we had talked to you after it, like, this LSU lineup looked like it could do no wrong and that there were no holes and it was just going to not necessarily continue to put up 12 runs a game, but still be elite across conference play. And once we got into, you know, the tougher opponents, but at the same time, you're just seeing too many hitters, I think, slump. If you're looking at the lineup, because Jay is like using, you know, Stanfield at the nine hole and effectively having a second leadoff hitter, I understand the logic there. It's the middle part of the lineup, I think, is the most concerning, from 5 to, let's say, 7 or 8, where you had guys that were getting off to a really good start that have kind of cooled off at the plate. You know, Cade Aaron Beattie, Zach York, Seth Dardar, some of these players. I mean, you expecting any of them to kind of get it going here, or are you expecting someone potentially on the bench to come out and make a name for themselves and kind of get right the ship, so to speak, with this LSU offense? Because it just feels like that middle section is really what's been hurting them.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. Like, I think that's exactly right. The middle section of the lineup is where it has been most troublesome. And if I were to bet on one guy getting it together and getting going again, it would be Zach York. He's just such a good pure hitter. He's one of the best pure hitters in college baseball. He's done it at a high level for multiple seasons. So I have a high level of confidence that he's someone who's going to get going again. Now, one of the other issues that comes into play, though, is it feels like some of the other options, you know, some of the options they could maybe use to mix and match and get some better different bats in the lineup, you're hurting the team defense, and defense has been an issue too. So there are a couple positions where it felt like Jay has just kind of been like pulling names out of a bingo hopper to try to figure out who needs to go where, because it does feel a little bit like there's almost like two versions of the lineup. There's a defensive oriented lineup. There's an offensive oriented lineup, and it's not quite that simple, but I do think that's some of what they're dealing with here is just that, you know, how much defense do you want to sacrifice to get a little more offense in the lineup and vice versa?
Looking at the Tigers' next opponent, they're going to be back in the box tomorrow hosting Louisiana Tech. I know that Tech dropped two of their three matchups at New Mexico State over the weekend. What should we know about this Bulldog squad going against the Tigers tomorrow?
I mean, you're going to get their best shot. I mean, it's a proud program that loves their opportunities to take on the Tigers or any of the big-name teams in Louisiana. Offensively, I think you can pitch to them. They've got a handful of guys that are off to really good starts. Trey Hawsey, Colby Lunsford, two names to watch there. Also, the exquisitely named Sebastian Mexico, and yes, that's a real name. Those guys are really swinging it well, but for the most part, it's a lineup that's not going to really necessarily hurt you that much if you can work around those top guys. On the pitching staff, a lot of different guys out of the bullpen have appeared a ton of different times. They're not shy about going to the bullpen, so I think it's going to be one of those. If you see seven or eight pitchers for La Tech, I don't think I'm going to be shocked ultimately.
You know, Joe, and then looking ahead to this upcoming weekend, because Steve and I had talked about it before we got into the Oklahoma series, that if there was any time for LSU baseball to get right, it was going to be in a 9-game homestand. And obviously you have the midweek game against La Tech, but then this upcoming weekend you're hosting Kentucky. And Kentucky under Nick Mangione has been a very strong program. This year they started SEC playoff with a sweep of Alabama, but then they lose 2-3 in Oxford against Ole Miss this past weekend. Just want to get your general kind of preview of them before they come to Baton Rouge and Alec Box Stadium and what's going to be a really desperate spot for this LSU baseball team.
Yeah, I think it already feels like a, I don't want to say must win series, but it feels like a must play well series for LSU, because this is a team in Kentucky that, at least on paper, LSU is more talented than. Now, I know the most more talented and better are two different things. And right now, Kentucky is playing a better brand of baseball than LSU is. But LSU, this is a team at home that you would think they should handle. Kentucky's very strong in two of their three rotation spots. Nate Harris and Jackson Jelkin have both been pretty consistent. Ben Cleaver, who was their best starting pitcher last year, is not off to a very good start. And it's not an injury thing, apparently. Apparently, it's just maybe mechanics are a little bit out of whack, or the league has maybe caught up with him a little bit, but he's not off to a very good start this season. And that's going to be the key for LSU. Is, I know we just talked about the struggles of the offense, but they got to get something going against those starting pitchers, because once you get into the Kentucky bullpen, they've only got a couple guys they really, really trust back there. Everyone else, they're kind of cycling through trying to find. It seems like every game, they're just kind of cycling through guys trying to find the answer. They don't necessarily have that core of three, four, five, maybe six guys they really trust. It's only a couple. So that's going to be the big key there. The thing about Kentucky that's going to be difficult from an LSU perspective in terms of matchup is that this is a team that's going to run a bunch. They're going to put the ball in play. They're going to bunt. They've got some physicality, but they're mostly going to make things happen on the bases and make things happen with runners. And with an LSU team that struggled defensively, especially on the infield, that worries me a little bit from the LSU standpoint of if this might just be a bad matchup from that standpoint.
Yeah, with Kentucky, we got a logjam atop the SEC standings right now. Seven teams are 4-2. Kentucky, along with Texas, Mississippi State, Auburn, Georgia, Oklahoma, and Arkansas. What are you seeing from the rest of that lot that stands out to you among the top teams in the conference right now?
I think Texas is the most well-rounded team. They've taken some losses along the way. They're not perfect in the way that, you know, we've seen some of these teams just kind of jump out to these big starts. I remember Tennessee in 2022, Texas last year, where they jumped out to, you know, by this point they were 6-0. So they have taken a loss here and there, but to me, they're the most well-rounded team, really, really deep offense, really strong pitching staff, to the point where they've even gotten, you know, some of the guys that they were expecting to be big parts of their team. A guy like Max Grubbs in the bullpen hasn't really performed like expected. And so they've just found this group of freshman pitchers that have just taken over some of those important innings in the bullpen that maybe they expected to go to veterans. So that's the team that strikes me as perhaps the most well-rounded. The team that I think is the most mystery to me is Georgia, just because I don't know how much to trust, you know, a team that is that they performed offensively over the weekend at A&M, but most of the time that offense doesn't really travel on the road, and their pitchers have a lot of stuff, They don't always throw a lot of strikes. They don't always have a lot of pitchability. And we've seen that come back to bite them in the postseason the last 2 years. So I don't have a lot of questions about them necessarily putting up a good regular season record, but I just don't know how much they can be trusted long term.
Joe, I think one of the major mysteries for this LSU baseball team moving forward, at least in the immediate future, because it's not a season-ending thing, but Cooper Moore's injury is pretty massive, yep. And it's triceps issues. It's not going to be season-ending. I think Jay had mentioned it's going to be about 3 weeks. Cason Evans, we had talked with you about this a few weeks ago, that maybe his peripheral numbers were a little bit better than the ERA would state, and then he has a real poor performance against Vanderbilt, but then he comes back with probably his best showing in an LSU uniform this past weekend against Oklahoma, so he's not going anywhere on that Friday starter spot. But now you probably just move William Schmidt up to Saturday, and then the question becomes, what do you do on Sunday? And generally speaking, LSU's pitching staff had a really good weekend against Oklahoma. It was the offense that ended up losing them that series, basically. But your thoughts on who could potentially fill in that final spot while you have Cooper Moore out, outside of Cason Evans and obviously William Schmidt?
Yeah, I think there are two basic options. One is a little safer than the other. The safe option to me is Zach Cowan, a guy who started a bunch of games in his career, was a full-time starter for a team, a Wofford team that got to a regional in 24, pitched in some big games last year for LSU, had some big moments. To me, that's kind of the safer option because he knows how to be a starter. He knows what that's about, how to do the preparation, all that stuff. The thing that has maybe a higher ceiling, though, is I'm curious what Gavin Guidry would look like in that role. And we saw him throw 70 some odd pitches over the weekend. Like, that's not quite a full starter's load, but it's pretty doggone close. And for a Sunday guy, you're not really asking a Sunday guy to go through the lineup three times and pitch six or seven innings. You're really looking for a Sunday guy to give you four good ones and five if you're really lucky. And is, you know, Gavin Guidry, is he good enough to get through the lineup twice in four or five innings and give you a chance to win? I think so. Now, Jay may want to keep him in the bullpen because I think he likes having that security blanket. But I have to admit, I'm intrigued by the idea of moving Guidry into the rotation full time because I just think the ceiling on him is going to be higher than what you'd get from someone like Zach Cowan.
Joe, always appreciate the time, man. Thank you so much. And yeah, my hand is basically hovering over the panic button. Definitely don't want to engage it, but it is there and ready.
Yeah, understood. I totally get it. No, I appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me on again.
Thanks, Joe.
Joe Healy, writer and podcaster for D1Baseball.com, joining us there. You can check out all his great work. Like I said, D1Baseball.com, the place to go to check out all things college baseball. We're taking a break, getting ready for the Jay Johnson Show coming up here 7 p.m. on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app.